You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 145 of Take a Bow. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and this week we have a very fun episode, actually. I'm very excited for this. No idea how this is going to turn out, but it should be a fun one. We have a woman who inspires me so much, and this week of March we are going to be celebrating women, as it is Women History Month, and I'm very excited to bring on this week's, like, I'm not even gonna say guest, so I'm gonna say co-host. It's my sister, Tezzy Tokash. Hey Tezzy, how's it going?
Hey, Mr. Eli Tokash, how are you?
Oh my gosh, hi. And another one of my favorite women in my life is my dog, Francis, who is also making an appearance on the podcast right now, for those of you who are watching this. Very exciting stuff. This week has been craziness, okay, first of all, and we'll get into a little bit about it, but we have an opening night tomorrow, which is very exciting. So we were prepping for that, and we were also prepping for this interview with a very exciting guest. Sierra Boggess was about to be taken about on the podcast, and, plans fell through. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have Tessie on. So very excited to have Tessie on.
I'm listening to Sierra Boggess.
Listen, no, it's not even that you're like second. It's just that you're like on the same tier as Sierra Boggess.
Please don't say that. I have a picture of her, by the way, you should use for like that. Remember that picture I took of her for the show Must Go On when we were on the carpet?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, wait, that's so like stalkerish. But no, that was actually like a real thing that we did. No, very excited. But that'll come out during this month. So I will be talking to Sierra very soon. And that's an episode that we can look forward to. But with that being said, let's talk some Broadway. I mean, this is kind of what this episode is going to be. We're just going to be chatting Broadway. There's lots going on. And we're also going to share some stories that we haven't quite shared before, and just talk about like a little bit about ourselves and our past with, you know, the theater industry and all the things. So very excited. Let's start out, and let's just say quickly, congratulations to Shocked, Camelot, Dancin', all shows that are celebrating today or have already celebrated their first preview performance, and Life of Pi as well. A Doll's House opening night is tomorrow. As I mentioned, we will be there. Very excited. Tessie will not be in attendance because she did like sprain her entire leg.
Sprain?
Tore, tear.
I wish it was a sprain. I completely tore my ACL and MCL.
Yeah, so she will not be in attendance, but Take a Bow will be, therefore Tessie will be there, and she'll be there in spirit. So very exciting stuff. Congratulations to everyone involved on that. But some exciting news for the Tokash household came this week as well, that Olivia Holt is gonna be coming to Broadway. Okay, Kicking It was playing 24/7 in the Tokash household, so we're very excited for this. What are your thoughts here on Olivia Holt becoming the next Roxy Hart in Chicago?
I think you need to post that picture of her when you met her and during Mary Poppins on tour.
I don't even know if I have that.
I have it. I screenshotted it. I'm on Facebook today.
Stop it. Wait, I actually completely forgot that was a thing.
Oh my God. As soon as I saw her and I was making that post on Instagram, I took a screenshot today. Like, you can see it at 11:59. This morning.
Oh my God, that is iconic.
Yeah, and I'm blanking on the freaking...
I know, the red Martin is his like show name or whatever.
But I'm super excited. I didn't know she was a singer at all.
She has like her own music and stuff, I think.
I know. His name's Dylan Riley Snyder.
Oh, that's
and,
it.
And the first picture, hold on, is him against a Escape to Margaritaville layout.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. I'm very excited. Did not know she was a singer. I honestly, it sucks. I haven't heard or followed Olivia's since Kicking It.
From her Disney days.
I know, and it kind of sucks, but I'm super happy she's back, and I'm really excited to see. I would love to buy a ticket to Chicago. Chicago's coming back. I mean,
Chicago is coming back.
Chicago's some good stuff.
I'm actually going to be seeing Chicago on Monday. I don't think you know this. Yeah, I'm very excited. Jinx? I am seeing Jinx.
You didn't even watch her seasons. And you
didn't
appreciate it.
Oh, no, but I'm so excited. I cannot wait to come and report back. I'm actually going to be seeing a couple shows in the coming week. So I'm very excited because I haven't seen many shows this year. I'm seeing a cabaret on Sunday. I don't know. I'm just going to like a lot of random things, but Chicago's like the show. The cabaret is actually really exciting. It's Abby Day Phillips, who's Take About family member. And it's like Derek Klena and Erica Henningsen and Samantha Pauly. And like all these people are going to be performing. So I'm very excited about it. You know, talking about Chicago, it was rumored that the next Roxy Hart was going to be Rachel Ziegler. That's what I was hearing.
I heard on theater Twitter, but I didn't know if it was true. Is that true?
It was rumored. I don't know if it's something that's still yet to come. Because obviously, you know, Chicago from friends, like not even theater in the theater Twitter, like not even fan speculation. I was literally hearing it from people within the industry. And I usually don't like say that, but now that like we have the announcement, but it's because they were auditioning younger men for the first time for the roles of the male roles in Chicago. So that it wasn't weird, you know, with this, you know, 20-year-old, this woman who's a younger Roxy, you know, than what they typically do, to have that kind of age gap kind of shrink. So there was a lot of speculation of like, oh my God, who's going to be this young girl coming in? And with Rachel Ziegler wanting to be in Broadway and everything, it was like that, it made perfect sense. But you know, hopefully we see Rachel Ziegler on Broadway. I'd love to see her on Broadway. I'm a big Rachel Ziegler fan. Oh yeah, for sure. But you know, like Chicago, they're constantly having all these turnarounds and everything that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like this is like a
tons of limited engagements, which is so smart. Yeah.
It's great. It's one of the reasons that the show continues to continue to have success for so long.
I wonder why it's only for certain roles, though, because they did that for Jinx's role, which is mom, and now they're only doing it with Roxy Hart. I wonder if they're going to do it with any male roles soon.
They have. They've done it for Billy Flynn. They've done it with... Yeah.
Who was he, and who does...
They've had all kind of famous people. I mean, they had Brandon Victor Dixon. They had James Monroe Eaglehart. They had, like, they've had these guys filter in for these roles.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder why it's not doing it at the same time, like, why it's not...
Well, first of all, if they had just had like a dream cast at all times, it would be super expensive to run the show. But I don't know why they don't do it all at the same time, but it's probably because they can just focus on advertising one and they can get away with it. But you know, you want those like starring, like it, Chicago is a Roxy Velma show. You know, you want those stars to be the, like the people selling the tickets, you want them to be on stage as much as they can. So I get why they do it with Roxy and Velma and even Mama Morton, but very, very interesting nonetheless. And we'll be interested to see if Rachel Ziegler maybe does come to Broadway in Chicago down the line.
Have you seen the movie Chicago? Mm-mm. Oh my God.
But I saw Chicago with Carly Hughes in it.
I've never seen Velma. Oh, is she good?
Oh my God. Was she good? Come on. Yeah, she was fantastic. And, I'm excited because I'm going to be seeing one of my like Pippin moms, Charlotte d'Amboise in this Monday in the show. So, yeah, anyways, moving on from this topic, there is also another, we love Waitress. We love a good Waitress moment in this household. And it was announced that Drew Gehling is going to be playing the doctor in Little Shop, which is so exciting if you ask me. We love him so much. Drew Gehling is my idol, and the fact that he, Mod Apatow, and Matt Doyle are about to be on the same stage, sign me up.
Didn't he get an extension, Matt?
I think so. But I think it was like an extension, but it wasn't like a full extension because it was like, oh, I'm doing a project. But I think we have till September-ish to see Matt.
I saw
He posted it on his story or something, which is so exciting. And it's plenty enough. It's plenty of time to go see him. I freaking loved Matt in Company, so I really want to see him as Seymour because I think he would be fantastic.
I want to see Drew as the Doctor because the last time I saw it, I was crying of laughing watching. Also, I need a disclaimer. I did take pain medicines before I came on here, and I'm a little drowsy, so if I mumble, like, I need to...
Oh, my God. No, you're fine.
But we saw Christopher... Chris, what's his name?
Oh, Chris Fitzgerald.
Who played the Doctor? No.
Drew Gelling.
No, the first time we saw him. Chris. Oh my God, he's in Sun Like It Hot right now.
Christian Borle?
Thank you, Christian Borle. We saw Christian
Borle. You're talking about the Doctor in Little Shop.
Yes.
Okay, I was like thinking of waitress people. No, and I was like, what?
No. I'm very curious because Christian Borle left everything out there.
Oh my God.
Doctor, and
he's so forgiving. I can
see Drew being a funny guy. But, like, I'm very interested to see what he brings. So I'm definitely excited to get tickets.
I'm saying this every week, it seems like, on this podcast of, like, oh, my God, they have this person coming into this show. You know, we see this with, like, Chicago and stuff like that. But it's very rare for an off-Broadway show to have, this much long extended success and to continue to attract these big names. I mean, Mon Apatow to be in a broad, like, an off-Broadway show, it's so random. But it's wonderful that they're able to do it.
It's so – not even, like, the cast of the names. It's Little Shop. Like, it's so iconic.
It's iconic.
I mean, you saw me when I was 7 years old. I would literally, as a 7 year old, dress as a Venus flytrap on stage. Remember that?
Yeah.
Acro solo. We watched Little Shop in the car when those DVDs came down.
We went
to the Blockbuster to rent it. Like, we watched that so many times. Like, that's just like a musical theater iconic everything.
For sure. And it's like, as a performer, for both male men and female, it's like, I want to sing Suddenly Seymour on stage so bad, you know, like it's for some reason just so iconic. Yeah. It's like a theater staple. So it's great to see that Drew Gelling and this production continues to have great success. And Drew Gelling is going to be in as the Doctor very soon. I'm very excited for it.
And that's a show that like there's no small roles either, because like there's obviously like, you know, your main, then you're supporting.
It's interesting because there are small roles, but this production made it no small roles.
Yes, exactly. Like that's what like the three Skid Row badass women. Like, I was little. I would jam out to those songs. I love those three on Broadway right now.
They kill it. But honestly, like all of like, if you think about it, I'm saying this in like all of Christian Borle's role, but it's not like his roles. All of those roles are just really like tiny characters that are like part of the story, but they make in this, it just evens it out, you know, and it's really cool. I mean, this production, I've said it a million times, it's one of the best productions of a show that like I've ever seen. It's like not like fully like reimagined, but like it is, and it's never been done this way.
No, especially like Christian Borle, like even I forget who we saw an understudy play these names. What is her name?
Oh, Audrey. Yeah. And she freaking killed it.
Yeah, she was absolutely incredible. But it was cool because even the, in quotes, main characters were playing multiple characters. Like Christian Borle was like a homeless guy. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, and he turned doctor and then he turned all these things. You know, like it's great. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was very memorable. That's a show I still think about. We saw it like last year.
Yeah, for sure. And we like wanted, we thought we had tickets for Jeremy Jordan and it was
Jeremy Jordan and Lena Hall. We wanted to go to Lena Hall so bad.
I know, but remember like mom bought us Christmas presents and we're like, you're gonna go see Jeremy Jordan, and it wasn't Jeremy Jordan. He left the show.
But we were so excited, so we were just like, okay, yeah. Like
Little Shop kind of said
her face was so priceless, you're gonna go see Jeremy Jordan. We were like,
we're like, who's gonna tell her? Of course I had to be the one to be like, actually, Yeah.
You're the golden favorite child.
She get out of here. I am not.
I'm the oldest. I can't do that anymore. I just got to go. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. He's totally in it. You're totally right.
Oh my God. That was so good. But yeah, no, a blast nonetheless. And I'd go see that show with anyone. It's they're killing it over there. That's all the news. I mean, that's all the what I had on my list. I know you have a list, so let's get to some topics that you have. But there's also some things that I want to ask you about that we can get into a little later.
Yeah. Well, okay. So first things first, you mentioned like a Take a Bow member. Speaking of Patrick Page is in the new Schmigadoon season 2.
Yes.
The trailer looks great.
Chicago. He dropped that on the podcast before like it was even announced. But the thing was, is like by the when we recorded, it was like not a thing. And I think like when we dropped the episode was the day that we announced it. So we couldn't be like, oh, a Take a Bow exclusive, you know? I was like, oh man, that was crazy. I love that man.
I first of all love him because I mean we worked with him. I'll never forget that. Like
okay, time. Because this is one of the things that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, okay.
Now you will never forget working with him for a very specific reason. Are you willing to share that on today's episode?
Are you talking about the story of when I ran into him the last time or like
when you like walked in on him?
When I walked in on him.
And he wasn't like, yeah, give it to me, please. And this is literally like the like definition of being a kid in the industry of like what you're exposed to.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say I love Patrick Page with my whole heart. We have a lot of things in common. One being that we both wear hearing aids. And I think that's the coolest thing I've with Patrick Page. He loves dogs. Oh my God, I love that he brings his dog backstage with him still. Okay, so the story is we were in Oliver and there was this girl named Tessa who was like the stage mom for me in Oliver. She would like pick me up like during one of the numbers and everything. And I thought it was her room. So I could go say hi to her and do like the pre-show thing that like we did. We'd do like a fun handshake, whatever. And I accidentally walked in on Patrick Page and he was getting changed and I didn't even close the door and I ran.
Guard.
And I don't know. I mean, listen, the backstage of the PCLO is it's a lot. It's big. There's a lot of rooms.
Especially the Benidorm. Like Byam's much smaller.
And the thing is like there's an elevator. You come out of the elevator and he's straight down. I didn't mean to go straight down. I meant to go in the hallway that went this way and do a left and then go down that hallway. But I had an adrenaline. It was, I think it was opening night. I forget which night it was. I saw Patrick Page get changed.
Here's the thing. And I like, you were nervous about sharing this. I know, you know, the thing is that's backstage life. Like the first time I ever.
That's your induction.
No, like you're not a theater kid until you've seen someone else naked. Like,
I didn't see him naked.
I know, but like, let's be real. Like, that's what we see backstage. Like, it's literally for those of you who have ever played sports before. Like, your dressing room in the backstage area, that's a freaking locker room. Like, it is.
But it's cleaner.
You know, it's cleaner for sure. But like, honest to God, because like in Finding Neverland, it was clean, honestly, and it crazy because like that was the oldest I ever was in like a Broadway show, and so like for them to like be so, I guess it was because we did have we got it as young as like 8 years old, so they had to be a little bit more like filtered, but like Pippin. Forget it. You know, I mean, like these cast members were coming from all over the world, you know, like in Russia, we had, we would call her the Russian queen or whatever we call her. And we had like these French, circus performers and all these things, like, forget it. They walked around naked like that. That just was like, I'm getting my bald cap fit and it's me and Ariana DeBose and she's just like in her bra and like her like leggings. And it's like, then Nico or Masha or whatever comes in with literally like no clothes on. So it's just like, and like in Mary Poppins, like that was the first time I ever saw like someone that wasn't my family or like, or myself like naked, you know, and like, never forget that, like in the little like in like the trunks or the changing areas that they like would designate, and there's nothing you could do about it. It's just kind of like, look, like focus on your next entrance, you know, type of thing. It's just like, that's just how it is, because you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, and I'm sure people who are listening who have done dance competitions,
yeah, exactly,
It's literally the same thing. Like, you're doing quick changes. You got pantyhose on and maybe a sports bra or like a tan bra. Sometimes people just like to free the nip, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But it's exactly like that. And yeah, it's totally true. I agree with you. Like, you're inducted into, you know, strong theater kid. There's only up from here. Like,
right. No, you're not a theater kid until like you've changed in front of someone that you wouldn't usually. Yeah. Like, even a theater kid, like, I'm sure this is happening at summer camps and stuff. Like, we had to do it at the CLO. Like, we had a guys and a girls dressing room. Like, we simply had to take our clothes off, you know. But we had to change.
For Oliver, we did not. For Oliver, it was everybody.
We did have it all. Yeah, we did.
For kids, it wasn't like that. Like,
but it was different sides, and we were like, you can't cross. But
for the Fagan kids, it wasn't. For the Fagan kids, we all had our quick change on one side. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was too young to remember that.
Me and Michael, I don't know if you remember Michael, the brown-haired guy.
Yeah.
He would help me get into the blue jacket that I wore, and I would help him get into the red one that he wore.
See, there you go.
I remember that. And Logan Rowland. He was on our side, too.
This is happening all over. Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, you're not a theater kid unless you, like, have changed in front of someone.
Yeah.
Opposite sex is a different story, but you've definitely changed in front of someone.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that it.
I can this, do that
listen,
so fast. Oh,
this,
sorry.
This freaking episode is about to be fully unfiltered. Just theater kids.
Take a bow 2.0.
Yeah, take a bow after dark. Literally, yeah. Like, yeah, literally after dark. Yes, but disclaimer, just in case, I guess Patrick wasn't naked, but like pretty close, so it's fine. Anyways, moving on. You continue telling your story because I interrupted and you were talking
about the story. I went to go see Tessa.
No. You were talking about Patrick Page being in Chicago, the season 2 Schmigadoon, but I interrupted because I was like, oh my God, this is a perfect segue.
Well, even I could talk about Patrick Page all day long because I ran into him on the street. We saw Hadestown and I, you know, met him at the stage door after and I met his dog and he actually, like, it was really cool because I took a picture with him and I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I'm like 24 now. Now I'm,
wow.
And wow.
I'm sure he doesn't remember the kid that just like walked in on him. You know, he wasn't scarred by that either.
First of all, 100%, because I'm sure it happens constantly. This man has been in the theater industry for over, 20 something years. But I was one of your Fagan members. And he was like, oh my gosh, yeah, Fagan gang. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, the Pittsburgh CLO. And he was like, Benedum Center. And I was like, yeah. And I thought that was a cool encounter too. Like,
no, yeah. So he's the king. Anyways, Chicago, very exciting. Ariana DeBose about to be the MC. I'm so excited for that.
Oh my
Did you
gosh,
see that?
So
she looked fantastic.
Chef's kiss.
I want nothing more than for Ariana DeBose.
She's hosting something else now. She just hosted. She just got done hosting.
I know.
And the rap. Did you hear about that?
I heard of it because she posted about it, but I don't know much about it, though.
I hate when people just get so on people. Like, who cares? I kind of like it. Something different. And it was totally like an ode to like how the Tony Awards were because it was like,
Wait. You're talking about, oh my God, wait, I didn't realize this is what we were talking about right now. Her iconic Angela Bassett did the thing.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. Wait. Okay. So yes, then I did see that. Of course I saw that.
How did you not see it? It's literally been all over the theater.
I totally didn't. I thought you said in the rap. I have no idea what you said.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm mumbling and ugh.
Yeah.
You gotta do this earlier next time.
Well, yeah, if we knew earlier, but it's okay. Anyways, no, that was honestly like iconic. And she's handled it like a full out pro. Like she's been like encouraging the like press and like the whatever that she's getting, the imitations.
Because I truly, when people like, when it came out and people were like, look at the audience, how like they're not into it. First of all, okay, well, they're not that crowd because did you see the Tony performance? I think that's what it was an ode to, like the rap style. Like, I loved it. I still listen to Round of Applause almost daily.
Oh my God.
I just have to self brag for a second. I did work that Tony event last year.
Yeah, you did.
And oh my God, I cried like 10 times watching her.
I'm just upset that Tessie made it to the Tonys before I did.
Oh, it was so freaking fun. I also met Jenny Anderson Photo, who's my favorite photographer. Okay.
Period.
So that's what I think the ode was to.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it was a little slow, yes, but also I kind of enjoyed the lyrics. And I don't know why. I thought it connected amazingly. I just think they just got bad shots of people. That's just so easy to do.
Listen, celebrate those women. Are you kidding me? Celebrate them. All of them. They all deserve the praise. And I thought that... Huh?
No, also because at the Tonys, like... the cameramen have to find the right people because there were people at the Tonys who looked bored. Like that whole, but that's the thing though. Like it's not for everybody. You're not going to please everybody.
Yeah. But come on, when you're like literally being sung to, or like they're shouting out your name, like you probably know you're on camera. I mean, there's a cameraman like right in front of you.
And Ariana DeBose can sing whatever she wants to me. And I will be like,
Here's the thing. It's not like she wrote it. It's not like she wrote it. You know, she was given the material and she made like literally gold out of the material that she was given because it's like turned into a full trend. So
and you're totally right though. She's handling it so well.
Oh, she's a freaking pro.
Yeah. So Schmigadoon looks awesome. Christian Chenoweth and Alan Cumming. Did you see those two?
Yeah, of course.
They look like the Sweeney Todds.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on there because that's not in Chicago.
Well, neither is Cabaret, where Ariana's playing the MC.
Oh, crap. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I have never seen Cabaret, so.
Yeah, that takes place in not even the United States, so.
And I love Titus Burgess. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the cast is ridiculous. It always is. And the bigger that this whole, like, Schmigadoon series, I guess, becomes, is the more people that they're just going to continue to bring on. I mean, you got the Schmigadoon, and then you have the, what's the other one that's very Broadway heavy? With the Gilded Age. The Gilded Age is very
I haven't watched Broadway that. Heavy. My friend at work just actually recommended that to me for when I'm alone this weekend.
Both Apple TV Plus shows. So I love the support from Apple TV Plus for the Broadway community.
Speaking of, because Aaron Tveit's in the show, we take a bow to have our first giveaway, ticket giveaway.
Yes. Better be following the Instagram if you're not.
Because that was wild. It wasn't even up for 24 hours and we had like over like 30 something entries.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. We were like, wow.
It was literally up for like 12 hours, if that.
Not even. Yeah, we posted it. We posted it at 9 o'clock last night. We were gonna close it at midnight, and Eli was like, "Let's do it at noon." And yeah, in that time, I was shocked. I thought we were gonna get like maybe 12, something like that. But a lot of people were interested, and one of them was Aaron Tveit and Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, Aaron Tveit and Ashley Lauren and Jessica Lee Golden, who's a friend of the pod but hasn't been on quite yet. But
there's coming next month on there.
JoJo and Derek are coming back April 11th. But yeah, no, I'm very excited about this giveaway. I think we could do a lot more of these, not just tickets, but also just Broadway memorabilia in general. I have a ton of stuff just sitting around, so would be happy to give more away. It seems like a lot of people enjoyed that. Congratulations to our winner, Savon Brown. Very exciting stuff. I'm glad it worked out. And shout out to you, because that was all your idea. That was fully your idea to do a ticket giveaway and a giveaway in general. But I'm glad. Thanks for everyone for participating. And you know, you had to like to enter. It was like follow, take a bow, and repost on your story. Like give us a shout out kind of thing. So shout out to everyone that was willing to, you know, spread the word about the pod and our account and everything like that in order to get a ticket or in order to enter this ticket raffle.
Thank you guys. And there's going to definitely, since we know kind of now,
People are interested.
4 hours, we know what to do now. So this is
we'll plan it better next time.
Yeah, there's definitely more. Just like how we're gonna plan this episode better if I, you know, were to come back and
help. Oh yeah, for sure.
It's crazy. But speaking of Sweeney Todd also had their first look today, which is March 8th. So yesterday.
Full disclosure: I refuse to look at any first look.
You're that kind of person.
I am that kind of person, and you know what? I'm okay with that. I've literally blocked all of like Sweeney Todd stuff.
Oh my god!
No, listen. I don't want it. I don't want anything given away.
What are you seeing?
I don't know, but I've never seen a production of Sweeney Todd. I obviously know the story and everything about it, but I don't want a darn thing given away to me during Sweeney Todd. I don't. I just want to go and I want to live it all. Of course I see that. I'm saying on Broadway. I've never seen a stage adaptation with these beautiful songs and everything. I know, but I don't want to ruin it for me. And Carolee Carmello, who, you know, you all know is a wonderful friend of the pod. She did like her production in like a bakery here in New York. So, like, I've gotten, like, tons of sneak peeks of that from, like, photos that she showed us and everything. But I don't want anything given away for this production because I've just heard nothing but good things about it. And I refuse to ruin it for me and to, you know, get expectations or, you know, do whatever. I just want to be surprised and experience it all at once for the first time.
Oh, and then did you see Shucked? What they're doing with their preview, what they gave away?
The pins, I got chucked.
Yeah, I got chucked.
Yeah, they were cute, right?
They're so cute.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea, and I am really going to love the lingo for the next couple of months on Broadway. Like, I'm going to get chucked tonight. Like, we're going to get chucked up. Like, I'm going to like that lingo. I think that's going to be
fun. Oh, my God. You have that. You have, like, the bad Cinderella, like, tease that they do. I'm not Cinderella, I'm your bad Cinderella. That promo is the best thing in the world. So there's all kind of spoofs going on right now on Broadway. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. And just a reminder that this Sunday during the Oscars will be the first the world premiere trailer of The Little Mermaid. So just a friendly reminder.
Oh, reminder. Look at her. She's playing in with the lingo. Reminder. I didn't even know that was the world premiere trailer. That's exciting.
Yeah, but there was a lot of, I don't know if you saw this, but people were angry because it was supposed to premiere during the Super Bowl. And then that apparently a fan or something, somebody reached out to Haley on Instagram, Bailey, and was like, is this happening? And she was like, sorry, I don't know where you got this information. Like, it was going around theater Twitter, like somebody screenshotted it and it was like going around being like, no, we're not, like the premiere or the trailer is not coming out during the Super Bowl. It'll be coming out, but I can't tell you when. So it confirmed this weekend that the first trailer will be out during the Oscars, which makes more sense.
Yeah, makes total sense. Like, for sure. You want to talk about a live movie that I'm excited for?
Yeah, I know.
That's going to be sick. I love anything Daveed Diggs is in, so like count me in.
I'm so excited, and I love Melissa McCarthy. I've never seen her play a villain, so I'm super excited for that.
Oh yeah.
Hailey Bailey looks beautiful.
Yeah, but come on, Daveed Diggs, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Jacob Tremblay. I mean, all of these, all of your favorite stars are in this show. Are you kidding me? Or in this movie, I guess you should say. I think it'll be great. Yeah, for sure. Awkwafina is going to be in it.
I actually have a question for you. Since you're the one always interviewing people, what is your comfort Broadway soundtrack?
Oh.
Or album, not soundtrack. Comfort
Broadway album? You know, it's unfortunate. Honestly, like, I low-key do go back to Neverland sometimes. And I listen to those a lot. More than I would do, like, for Pippin. Or Mary Poppins or any of the others, for that matter. But, you know, there's a part of me that... first of all, I love Waitress. So I love the Waitress cast album, of course. Part of me is, like... I know it's, like, very new age theater fan, whatever. But... for this nostalgia factor, like when I was growing up, and even when I was on Broadway, I mean, all I did was sang Hamilton. So that was like, that's huge for me that I still like continue. Like, I feel like like when I want to go back and just like get excited or hyper or feel like, I don't know. I feel like that is a really good one. You know, that Hamilton Dear Evan Hansen like year was like, shaped my theater kid fandom, you know, like it really did. So, but yeah, it was great. And so, I mean, it wasn't even that they like Come From Away. I mean, because Dear Evan Hansen and Hamilton weren't in the same season, but like that, like 2 year span was just fantastic for new musicals.
You said Come From Away. Did you see they're coming with a reunion?
No.
Yes. Yes.
What are they doing?
Hold on. Let me
share it with us.
Hold on.
What was that?
I was watching Amanda Seyfried earlier on Vanity Fair.
I love that for you.
Okay, this came out on Playbill March 6, 2023. The musical will return to where it all started with runs in Newfoundland. But the title is Come From Away. Original Broadway cast members reunite for a homecoming production in Gander.
Oh my god. Is this like a one night thing? What is this? Tell me more.
So I'm reading now. Original Broadway cast members, have joined the company for a director. Running July 7th through September 3rd at the Joseph R. Smallwood Arts and Culture Center in Gander, Newfoundland. Oh! Wait, what?
You just connected the dots on that.
Wait, so they're going to? Yes, oh, wow! Yes,
I got that from the start of you introducing this, and I didn't even know about it. That's fantastic. Did not know that. I don't know why I didn't know that. But that sounds amazing, and that sounds so cool. And it would be cool to see, like, because I know, you know, all of those people in Come From Away were, like, based on, like, real people. And I know that, like, the pilot, the first female pilot, Jen Colella's role, I can't think of her name right now, she was, like, a real person. She was heavily involved in the Broadway production. So I'd love to see, like, you know, like, if those people are still alive and like somehow like kind of got involved in that production in some way with the original Broadway cast, I think that'd be sick.
So are we going to Gander and we're going to do a Take About a Lie?
I can't with you. I can't. Not quite. I would love to be completely honest. I totally would. But we're not there yet. The money? No.
I don't have Patreon. No, I'm kidding.
LOL.
So then...
Well, wait. I'm curious. You asked me a question. I want to hear your response. What's your...
Oh, Waitress for sure.
Yeah.
Waitress for sure. Okay. Funny story. The first year that Spotify Rap did their thing, my number one played song was the Contraction Ballet.
I'm sorry? Of all the songs on the album?
I think it was a stressful year. I think I just needed to breathe. It was my first year back in college in New York. And it was stressful. So
that honestly, like, I know it's like breathing and everything. And it could be like meditation for you. That does sound like someone that just needs therapy.
Well, you know.
So I'm glad that you figured that one out. Oh my god! Of all the freaking songs in that album, I mean, go off.
Oh, I know. I don't know why.
Honestly, like, what theater kid doesn't need therapy? So just, well, there's that too.
That song, the breathing, like, oh, it just made me feel so good. I think I remember walking, like, we would walk dogs with our dad in like the building. My dad was a dog walker, and we would help out. Literally, I would put my headphones in, and it was like the best. Like, it made me feel so calm, and I would just have that on repeat, like walking up and down the streets of New York, like meditating, breathing. Like, it was nice. And I think, you know, I definitely needed therapy, but like, I think it was just
real. That's okay. Oh my god, I kind of love that for you. I love that journey.
Great song. You got a soft place. It goes from a soft place to land to freaking a bad idea. I mean, that whole soundtrack is just, it has every single emotion, just that teensy bits of angst in there. Like, you can't.
I am waiting for the day that Sarah Bareilles writes a new musical, because first of all, I mean, pressure's on.
You know,
if I was her, I would probably be like a one and done with how amazing of a job she did with Waitress. But like, as a fan, I just want more. I need more. Yeah. She's so fantastic. And I mean, it's very rare for like a pop singer, like a pop, you know, whatever, like to come in and have that much success in a musical theater industry and be so like beloved and respected now in the industries that now she's like starring in Into the Woods and all these things. Like, she's so heavily involved in the theater industry now. And it's really from that. And, you know, fun story about like that whole process was Finding Neverland. Actually, Pippin was going on at the time where Diane Paulus and Sarah were like just starting to collaborate on Waitress. So Sarah Bareilles, they would always say that she was like at Pippin and she wanted to see like Diane's work and everything, but I never met her. And then Finding Neverland was when she really started to come around. And she was a big part of the backstage life in Finding Neverland for quite some time, and was like a live-in Diane without like actually like being the director and like giving us notes. But like, she was so heavily involved in Neverland for like a good 2 month period with, you know, because Waitress was just about to begin and her and Diane were just forming this relationship of this collaboration and everything. It was really, really cool. And then to like be a part of that, to like watch their relationship grow and then to what it became on Broadway and Waitress, it was awesome, honestly. And I think like I appreciated the show Waitress more because of that.
Because you like kind of saw that little behind the scenes glimpse.
Yeah, like I kind of saw it like grow. Like, I saw her grow, and I saw like how she, like her thoughts on, you know, things with Neverland she would talk to us about. And like, I could kind of like go to Waitress and be like, oh, I could totally see how she's crafted this into like her own, you know. And now that's with me seeing her. I actually never saw Jesse Mueller. I think I saw Betsy Wolf. I never saw Shauna Bean. So like, the majority of the time, I saw Waitress like a million times, but I maybe went one time without Sarah Bareilles. So I only know Waitress with Sarah Bareilles, kind of.
I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. I think that's really cool.
Hey, fun facts.
I'm really jealous that you saw Sarah Bareilles. I'm very happy. I saw Shoshona Bean, and she was incredible. My dream, who I wanted to see, was Sarah Bareilles, and who was the doctor?
Jason Mraz.
Yes, Jason Mraz. I will never
unbelievable. Forget. Unbelievable.
I will never forget looking at, I looked at so many trash cans with their faces on them. I'm like, I'm going to see you on Broadway. And I never did.
Listen, I'm usually not like for the stunt casting whole like motto or whatever.
That was
freaking Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles. First of all, their connection was unbelievable. I mean, there was something there. There really was. And we got to watch that every night. And it was unbelievable. Number one. Number two, would put it up there with like the Lea Michele Funny Girl performance. Because like it was up there on the shows of like unforgettable theater experiences that I've like seen as an audience member was Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles in Waitress.
I'm salty because you mentioned Funny Girl. Ramin Karimloo really teased us.
Okay, can we talk about that? You're talking Phantom.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Phantom.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to take it a step further after we talk about Phantom. Phantom.
Did you see those two prints that he was
doing?
You
do know that he is playing Phantom.
Yeah, I know he's playing Phantom. He's not
on Broadway.
I thought, yeah, I know.
So what's the tease? He's still playing him.
I would have.
He's still coming back to the role. Come on.
Where is he performing it? He's not performing it on Broadway.
Overseas. I think in London.
Well, you want to go to London?
I would love to go to London. I've actually always wanted to go see a show in the West End.
Oh, wait. Something else. Oh, Strange Loop is going to West End.
Yes, Strange Loop. Oh, my God. Another news. Well, yeah, there's just been so much happening that I'm so glad that we get to have this, like, you know, brain vomit, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack. I'm going to take it a step further with Ramin Karimloo since we're on the topic of him. A big, big story in the Broadway news late this week, really. Playbill did an article on him talking about the Broadway body.
They called it that.
Or the Broadway physique. Yes. Whoa. First of all. And you know, now, I don't know, because this is a difficult topic. There's a lot to unpack here. So I'm not going to like fully go into it. Here's what I'll say. I thought that he handled what he could well.
I thought he did beautiful. His post about it.
It could have been better. Because there were moments that I was like, that's a little hypocritical. But I'm a Ramin fan. And I understand what Playbill was doing with this. I think that it was a big miss. I think that it could have done much better. You know, there is this stereotype on Broadway in the entertainment industry, period. You know, in magazines, in TV shows, in movies, on Broadway, all the things. Yeah. The fact that he takes his, like, literally has his shirt off for maybe like three full scenes in Funny Girl, and his understudy doesn't do it once when they go on.
Well, how about
bonkers, Tessie? How is that allowed?
Wait, did you catch, because this was interesting to me, a fan on theater Twitter sent three photos out and was like, does anybody see the problem here? And if you look at it, there are three, one with Beanie Feldstein and the end coming out with Bowles with the, did you see that? With the cover
up. Oh, I saw it. That was a big, big issue.
And then the understudy coming out with like less clothing because she's, you know. I don't want to like.
No, she
say, no, like the Broadway.
She boss has the stereotypical like entertainment industry look, and it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely absurd.
I think it's very interesting because I really enjoy watching. Especially, we went to go see Neil Diamond a couple months ago, and it's very interesting how that cast is very diverse.
The casting. Give them a raise.
Seriously, there's this girl who, and no offense to her, I couldn't take my eyes off of her because of how beautiful she did. But in Broadway, speaking of the article, like non-Broadway body or whatever, she was a firecracker. I could not take my eyes off of her. I thought she was the like most badass girl on that stage. She was owning it. She had her own solo, and I was like, wow. A girl who, like, you know, didn't have a Broadway body, like, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I thought she was absolutely incredible. And it's just, like, really sad to think, like, that's what people are, like, characterizing Ramin with and, like, these people with, you know.
We're talking about Mimi Scargiula, by the way, is her name, the fantastic ensemble member who really shines in A Beautiful Noise. And they do like, first of all, the diversity in A Beautiful Noise is beautiful.
So
the
amazing.
the physical diversity is also beautiful. You have all shapes and sizes, all sorts of representation in the show. I am obsessed with it. And Mimi is one of the featured ensemble members, and they really give her like some moments that she just, you literally, they put her front and center and you just can't take your eyes off her. Even when she goes towards the back, it's just like, I am following you.
I literally had so much makeup on my mask inside because I was smiling.
Yeah.
She would come on. Like my cheeks or whatever, like in my mask. And I would just get so excited when she came on stage. Like the one where she has her solo and she does that blonde, like I had chill. Like I honestly thought she was like a firecracker. Like
she totally is.
Yeah.
She's so fierce. It's unbelievable.
Just with it. I was like, I'm in love.
And the fact, so that's what I'm saying. Like Playbill, it was great to touch on this whole stereotypical Broadway body and the way what Ramin said and everything, in the sense that, you know, my abs don't give me happiness type of thing. Like it's more of like an anxiety thing that like I have to keep them going is kind of like how I interpreted it. He obviously didn't say that, but he did say like it does, that's not what brings him happiness. Like his body is not what it is. But there are those fans and unfortunately those people that do come for Ramin, and because he's so sexy and he's so hot and all the things, and that's totally okay. It's totally okay to have a crush on someone. Like I have a crush on him, like for God's sakes. He's a very attractive man. So with that being said, that's the thing. Like people have crushes on everybody, you know. It's not just Ramin. It's just he may be talked about a little bit more because of like the stereotype of a Hollywood industry Broadway type of body, and it's that lean muscular body, and I think that it's something that needs to be broken. I mean truly, because some of the most talented people, I mean, you have Mimi, you have Josh Lehman, you have Katie Garrity, you have all of these fantastic performers that are so much more than their body, you know, and so much more than their looks. Like they're up there to tell a story. And let me tell you something, they are telling a story that may be better than anyone else on that stage.
Prom. I mean, Kaitlyn Kinnunen.
That's like, what I'm saying.
She talked about it. She had such a beautiful story to tell. And my God, if she, every time I saw that show, I cried like a baby.
I'm over this whole like skinny whatever thing. Like I am over it. It's not a thing. Everyone erase it from their vocab. And because here's the thing. They had the balls to do it. They had the balls to talk about this where people aren't talking about it. You know, like that's the biggest issue. And the only issue that I have with Playbill is that they talked about it with someone like Ramin, who is the poster boy child of like a Hollywood type of body that needs to be erased. They needed to talk about it with someone else.
Agreed to disagree. I agree with the fact that they blatantly put it out there, like, let's talk about body issues. Yes. However, I feel like people, this has been a conversation for a while, especially in the costuming.
There's no doubt it's been a conversation amongst fans and amongst people in the industry, but never of like a news outlet. You think it's been like there's not been a major news outlet like Playbill stepping up to talk about Broadway or body diversity or like Broadway body, you know, positivity.
On the news source, I'll agree with.
There's no doubt the conversation's been had and continues to happen. Yeah, it's just publicly like that with a star name, you know, talking about it with a news publication. I mean, that's never happened before. So,
you know what else hasn't happened is like I haven't seen somebody who does have the Broadway body talk about that either, like with
What I'm saying.
Yeah, like, usually it's a positive conversation, and the fact that he was offended by that does say a lot. That's why I thought he handled it like so nicely, because he could have absolutely taken that as a compliment and been like, oh, thank you, dude. I
agree with you 100%.
Whatever. But like the fact that he was just like, excuse you, hello, like,
I think that, you know, someone needs to step in here and do a I hate to say like a real story about this, but another story about this from all everyone, literally. I think there needs to be like a round table discussion on this matter, and it's not just of all types, like, you know, it's not just, yeah, it's not just the stereotype, whatever. But yeah, shout out to Mimi who absolutely crushes it in Beautiful Noise,
and all the standard of Broadway beauty or Broadway body, right, standards, like,
and that's another thing, like, that's a real thing with a lot of people, and it's even like, it's not even like it happens with every performer. Every performer has some sort of bodily like anxiety, you know, like around it. Your bodies are your bodies, and like they're beautiful. It's your, like, I don't know.
I don't know. Easier said than done. I mean, you know.
I agree. And as a performer, I am like, oh, I feel like I should be a little bit more fit, or I feel like I should, like, I have anxiety about it too. You know, it's like now I'm becoming, I'm auditioning for these like high school or college jocks, and I'm like, well, I'm a scrawny dude. Like, I don't think that I look, you know, buff enough to be a jock. And it's like, it happens with everyone. It's like it's just this industry. Did you have anything else on your list that you really wanted to talk about?
Extends until September 10th. I want to see it very badly. Rosé.
What extends?
Titanic.
Oh, Titanic, of course.
Extended till September 10th. So now I have more time to catch Rosé, season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race in it. And I'm very excited. Period. I want to see it so bad.
We love that. Okay, on to a lighter note. Tezzy, is there any, like, I don't know, fun story or anything silly that we can just, like, close out on and a fun story about, you know, our time in the industry or whatever?
Every time Eli mentions Finding Neverland, it makes me crack up because we have a big family. Our family is Italian and Polish, so it's just a huge family. And so, oh, and Serbian. And so... whenever we had family in, which was a lot, and over five people would be in, we would go and rush tickets. And every time my Mimi would come in, Eli would like come stand in line with us and rush tickets. And I don't know, you guys have grandmas, you know how proud they are. She would just spike a conversation, or she would just, like, you know, make a conversation happen. And all of a sudden, you just hear, this is my grandson. He's in the show. And they're like, oh, wow, we're meeting a Broadway star. And it would be the funniest thing. Or, like, when she's in intermission and she's, like just randomly. Like, we would be in the bathroom line and she'd just be like, so what do you think of the show? And this random lady would just be like, oh, it's so nice. I really like Matthew Morrison from Glee. And then she would just be like, my grandson's being.
I can't. If I was there, I would have ran away. But you know what? It's hilarious because, like, after the show, you know, like, I'd always come to see you guys, and you guys made friends with someone every freaking show. Because there was someone when you guys came to the show, I knew that afterwards I was gonna need to, like, say hi to someone, because you would literally, like, we'd have the whole, like, stage door and everything. But, like, you get through that, and it's, like, you're in a separate, like, little, I don't know, you guys are standing off to the side, so then you're in, like, your own little group, and in that little group is always some, like, random family or random person. I'm just like, what is happening?
We make friends by saying my grandson's in the show. I would make friends by being like, oh, my God, you like Heathers, too? Like,
yeah,
cool.
Literally.
Right, hard and hot. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's hilarious. And honestly, not at all, like, rare for, like, someone in the show to, like, go out and sit at Rush Tickets for their own show, like, for their family or friends. Totally normal. There, a lot of us did that in Pippin. It was my favorite thing to do in Neverland, to go to bed at 2 a.m. to wake up at 7 a.m. to get tickets to the show. It was definitely a highlight of the week. But and then do two shows or something.
I finally met Matthew at some Like It Hot. I was so excited.
No way, that was your first time meeting Matthew.
In a sense of me giving him a hug and shaking his hand, yes. I interacted with him once during Finding Neverland, and it was just like all of us being like, hi, this is this person. Hi, this is this person. Hi, this is this person. And it got to me, and I was just like standing there, and no one introduced
right.
me.
Like, oh, that's fair.
I was like, there's a lot of people. It's totally fine. But we exchanged eye contact. It was nice.
We exchanged. I don't care what anybody says. I love that man with my whole heart.
He called me love, and it just like made me. He's so nice. I knew it because, like, I mean, he took care of you. Like, he was your second dad, basically, in Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
And so, like, I always had like a kind of weird like thankfulness and love for him because he had to take care of you. It's like just really mm-hmm. nice. Also, sorry, I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole real quick. Kelsey
yeah, go for
in the new, you saw that trailer, right? Kelsey Grammer's new movie.
A new movie for what?
Oh my god. It's called The Jesus Revelation, and it looks so good.
I don't think I saw this.
Oh my god. I cried during the previews. My star sign's Cancer, in case y'all are wondering, so I cry a lot. And it's called The Jesus Revolution. And it is so good.
I haven't watched it yet. I didn't even know about it. He has a lot of exciting stuff coming out that I don't thing can be totally shared yet, but there's a lot coming out, so it's gonna be a good year for Kelsey Grammer. Well, a good year could be, you know, a successful year. Good year of like happiness is not always defined by that.
Heavy.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's gonna be like a great year for him mentally and health wise, but he has a lot going on.
I think it was a type of therapy, I hope, for him. It's like this is so positive. Like from the kissing booths.
Oh my god. Go off. I actually love those movies.
I do too. I watched all three of them.
I'm a sucker for those rom coms.
I hated the last one, but I liked the first two.
Hey.
I hated how the plot ended, but
Okay, we've bored you guys enough. We're just talking about random stuff at this point. So anyways, listen, I haven't come on here just to like actually like unwind and just talk about the industry and share some stories of like, I guess, our experience, like our families and mine personally, in a long time. So I'm really glad that it actually worked out this way and we were able to, you know, have a little therapy session with each other while everyone listens. Just to have you back on the podcast, because I know it's something that we've talked about a lot before, and Tessie is such a big part of the podcast, of what happens behind the scenes, and beyond, you know, on social media and everything else. So, forever thankful for you. And, you know, you're the reason I'm here and you're the reason that I'm doing this podcast. So I always love talking to you, and, I thought it would be fun to have you on. So thanks for doing
it. That's really sweet. Women rock.
Women do rock. Women are inspiration. Well, this has been fun, and hopefully y'all enjoyed just hearing some stories and talking about the industry, and hopefully like learning as much as I did, because I didn't know some of the things that we were just talking about today, but very exciting to learn about it. Thanks for coming on. Oh yeah, Tony. Tony All Access Pass.
I'm kidding. I just loved it.
Who was the coolest person you met at the Tonys?
Jenny Anderson.
Okay, besides that, because you already said that. Like, who's the coolest, like, performer?
Wow, that's hard. Because, okay, here's why it's hard. No, this is why it's hard, because I was a card runner that day.
Yeah.
And my job was to run around the entire Radio City building. And the step and repeat and red carpets were... Here was Radio City. Here was the step and repeat, like all the way down the street. So I ran into like a lot of people, and I like talking. So I talked to all of them, and they were so nice. I did take pictures on Miles Frost's iPhone. And
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
I think you did. Him and, oh man, the guy who wrote Strange Loop.
Michael R. Jackson. Oh my
Michael
God.
Michael R. Jackson.
Goodbye.
Who later won a Tony. And I believe I did tell you that.
Both of them won a Tony. What are you talking about?
Huh?
Oh, they yeah. both won a Tony. Hello?
You're right. You're right.
Oh my God. You were just questioning if I was a theater kid. Listen, last 5 years of theater, I'm your guy. Anything before that, not your guy. It's very sad to say, but it's true. It's not something you'd be proud of, but that's when I started in the industry, like getting involved in the industry. And that's
5 years ago,
why I knew
you were 13 years old?
5 years ago. Okay, 6-7 years ago. There you go. Whatever. When I moved to New York is really when I started to get involved in the industry, and that's when I, like, you could quiz me on that stuff, but anything before that, anything before I moved to New York, that's freaking foreign.
I will come next time, if I'm allowed, and I'm making a Quizlet.
Do it.
7 years of Broadway trivia.
Do it.
We also have
I'm there. Do we have to what?
No, Eli, the Sparkle game that I sent you.
No, I heard you. Oh. We played that in middle school?
Yeah, Sparkle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what Sparkle is. That the spelling one?
Yeah, you spelled Sparkle and it went spelled. Up and up the rows.
That's not a word.
Sparkle.
Yeah, I know.
That it's is a spelt. Word.
Spelt, right? S-P-E-L-T.
Yeah, spelt the word. Spelled. Yeah.
No, you said spelled you the word.
Freaking. Okay, so we would spell the word up and down, and then, like, the last person would sit down. But people...
Spelled is a word. I feel like an idiot.
S-P-E-L-T.
Yeah, they're both words.
And S-P-E-L-L-E-D.
Yeah, I thought spelled it was
spelled correctly. Spelled. I know, two past tense is weird, right? No, but people would literally spell Sparkle wrong and, like, sit down. But it's basically the last one standing. We won like a free piece of chocolate or something. And we went to a Catholic school. So like that was the highlight of our day.
I'm crying. Listen, I was not good in anything in Catholic school other than the multiplication competitions because that's when I learned that I could probably memorize anything in the world if I could memorize multiplication numbers. Also, it was hilarious. I don't know if you all follow me on my Instagram or whatever, but it's hilarious because Gabby Pizzolo, a couple weeks ago, we had a, I guess, like, anniversary for our production of Secret Garden that Gabby posted. And Max Von Essen commented, I commented on Gabriella's post and was like, oh, this was such a great time. Like, I wish we were able to do more of it because, you know, I've talked about that production of Secret Garden on this podcast a lot before. And we only did like two performances, but we all got so close and we all loved the production and the story. So we all got so attached to it and always said that we wish we could do it for longer. Well, I kind of basically said that in my comment. And Max Von Essen comes over and outs me and is like, yeah, it would have been really nice to actually do a show where you learned your lines. And I was like, okay, be like that. So I guess according to Max Von Essen, if you ask him, I didn't memorize my lines on a Broadway stage. So there you go.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted. Just to fact check your accusation that you...
Didn't he also, like, roast you? I don't know if it was this was in person or...
He's always roasting me.
Yeah, I don't know if it was in person or during an episode. Like, because we met him when he was at a cabaret. And then, I don't know if he said it...
At my cabaret, I think. At the Take a Bow cabaret.
We also saw him... Or you also... Oh, yeah, that's right. But he was roasting you about, like, not memorizing your lines then, too.
Oh, yeah. It's his favorite thing. No, it's because literally, like, during the whole rehearsal process... I was sitting at a table with him, like making his Instagram, and because it was like just becoming like popular, and he was like just getting like a Tony nomination, not a big deal, and so he was like, "Oh, I should probably like get on social media, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're kind of like a big deal now, you freaking silly goose," and so I was like doing that, and then like come the day of the show. I would like go into his room and like I normally do, but I usually just go on to like do his social media or whatever. And I was like, I can't do this today. I can't. You need to help me. You need to help me learn my lines because I don't know them all the way.
And so he just likes to tease me about that because I literally like freaked out on him that day and was like, it's because I've been trying to help you and now you need to help me. And like literally anxiety attack. And Gabriella remembers it very vividly as well, as she clearly outed me then on her story to 1. whatever million followers that she has on Instagram. So we love that, and we love the professionalism that was represented by
Toecash. What are you talking recently. About?
Yeah, no, we're all out for a good fun. We're all out for a good time, though. So, all right. On that note, fun stories. We're getting long winded here. We're having fun, but with all of this being said, thank you all for listening to this week's episode. Thank you for listening to this long of it if you're still here, and we'll be back next week with another regular episode with a fantastic guest, and I hope to see you then. So bye everyone, have a great week.
Love you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.